Hello and welcome to The Two Dyspraxics. I'm Barbara Neal.
And I'm Matthew Munson.
So today we are going to talk about music, and that's basically, and we're being very self-indulgent here, I would say, wouldn't you, Matthew? Because we're talking about our personal musical tastes.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Bit of self-indulgence never hurt anyone. That's what I'm saying.
I love a bit of self-indulgence. That's what I always say.
With you on that one.
So to kick off then, do you want to carry on with what you were saying just before we started recording?
Yes. Partly I've got you to credit for this. A particular artist, a band that you were a fan of, that you got me into, actually, which was Richard Ashcroft, The Verve. Because I never really listened to their music, to be honest with you, up until a few years ago, when you and I and one of your delightful sons went to listen to him live at the O2 in Glasgow. And what a showman. What an absolute showman. I was a convert, you know, very quickly. Having heard him play, and actually that song, I always ask you this, and I always forget immediately afterwards. There was like one song near the end that I must have then listened to on repeat on YouTube, and I can't remember what it is. And I always keep thinking I must remember to ask you what it was.
Right,
one of the really famous ones.
Bittersweet Symphony.
No. No,
we could be here all day.
I'll have to go on. I should have done it before we recorded it. I'll have to go on YouTube later and try and find it. But I could remember being absolutely coming away from that, and for about the next fortnight, just listening to it almost on repeat, time after time on like YouTube or Spotify or something. He'll come back to me. I should have been more prepared for that. But I think that's part of it. That showman effect. You know, he was just this.
Yeah,
larger than life personality. Well, you've named people after Richard Ashcroft, haven't you?
I have. Yes, my youngest son is named Richard after Richard Ashcroft, and our cat was named Ashcroft after Richard Ashcroft. Ashcroft, sadly, our cat is no longer with us, but we had him for 15 years. He was a rescue cat, and actually, Richard, number three son, said to me when he was very little, he said, "Mum, you know Ashcroft was a rescue cat." So I said, "Yes." And he said, "What did he used to rescue?" We weren't looking at it. But on the same subject, I mean, we haven't digressed very much yet, but on the same subject of Richard Ashcroft, I went with said son, Richard, and his girlfriend, Amber, and Amber's mum, to see Richard Ashcroft at the Royal Albert Hall last week. And he's still amazing. The man's 50 now, you know, so I've seen The Verve several times. I've seen Richard Ashcroft plenty of times. So I'm something of an old hand now, but he's still really got it. He's so good. So highly recommended.
Well, I think if you like a musician as well, I think it makes it even better, doesn't it? I wish I'd always seen Queen live. Hang on, I sense a story.
Back in the 70s, back in my heyday when I was a young'un, I saw Queen live at Hyde Park, and it was free. It was in the days when bands, well-known bands, were playing Hyde Park, and it didn't cost us anything to go and see them. Bit different now. I think they charge an arm and a leg for bands nowadays in Hyde Park. But that was free, and they were fantastic. It was before the sort of Radio Gaga phase, and it was still Bohemian Rhapsody. So they did Bohemian Rhapsody. They did Prophet's Song, which I love, from A Night at the Opera, their album.
I've never heard that one.
And, they were fantastic. They were supported by, Kiki D, Steve Hillage. I'm trying to remember now.
Kiki D.
Oh, yeah, she was really good too, actually. I've seen her a few times live at various festivals and things. Because I've been to so many festivals and gigs and things over the years. So I've seen loads of bands and loads of artists live.
I've never been, and this is a failing of mine more than anything, I've never been much of a, sort of a festival goer, or you know, anything like that. I don't know why. It's never occurred to me to go to those places. Maybe I should do more of it. In fact, earlier this year, I took Brian, and it wasn't exactly a raging success. I took Brian to a kids. It was styled as a kids rock festival in Broadstairs. Well, not far from where I live, and it was styled as sort of, you know, kids rock and all this kind of thing. It was obviously the first one that had been organised by this particular lady. I'm being careful what I say, because I think it created a lot of ire and sort of frustration amongst a lot of people. So I don't think she's sort of had a chance to respond too well yet. So I'm being careful how I phrase it. But it was the first band was sort of quite hard, heavy rock, which isn't really for kids. And they started swearing and stuff on stage. And it was an outdoor concert. It was mostly, well, obviously a lot of kids there. And you think, come on, you're misreading your audience a bit here. But then there were some later groups who were doing sort of soft rock covers. And, you know, those were all classic rocks from the 70s and 80s, that stuff I love. You know, mm-hmm. I can't think of examples now, but I don't know, Bonnie Tyler and Aerosmith and all those guys. And those guys were great, and I really enjoyed that, but it was a bit varied in quality in places. I thought that was a shame, especially because that was Brian's first introduction to a lot of concerts. I was like, oh, I was hoping that'd be a bit more of a thrilling experience for him.
Yeah, I think it can be a bit sort of hit and miss with festivals, because if they're well organised, they can be brilliant, really good, really entertaining and so on. But if they're not so well organised, and I'm actually in two minds about it, because like you, I'm not sure whether I should mention this or not, but my other half is in a band. And
of course he is, yeah.
But they are an excellent band. They rehearse every week. Come on, man. You know, the only time they stopped really was during the lockdown when they couldn't rehearse every week, you know, but since then and before then, they rehearse every week without fail. And it shows in their performance, because they're a really tight band, really very together. But as long as the sound system is good, they're good.
Yeah.
If the sound system isn't good, or whoever's on the mixing desk doesn't know the band or doesn't know their music, then it can be less than good.
That's the thing, isn't it? Is sometimes you go to a gig or a festival or whatever, and you get a bad night, and it does happen. You get a bad night, and sometimes that then puts you off. I mean, I remember years ago, I used to go to sort of before I was a single father, and you know, time was no longer my own. I used to like going to sort of the local music circuit, all around where I live in East Kent, and listening to local pub bands and different stuff that whatever was on. Yeah, me and a couple of mates would go along to that, and it was great. But yeah, you'd know the pubs that had good acoustics and good sound gear and good equipment, and would hire decent amateur local bands. And then you get some pubs you think, well, I'm not going there again, because the sound system's awful, or you know, we were hiring these bands that are clearly three sheets to the wind before they even sing a single note.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that also son number two, Jim, is, as you know, he's a very talented guitarist, and he used to be in a band. He's not in a band at the moment, but when he was, he would never drink any alcohol when he was playing at a gig, because until afterwards, you know, afterwards.
Yeah, well, that's a, yeah, yeah, totally.
He made it a point of just drinking water before a gig, and you know, which I think that's the responsible thing to do. It makes me a little bit dubious if somebody's sort of knocking back the pints before they start playing, then it makes you wonder what kind of performance you're going to get.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And yeah, I mean, you kind of get the, it's a difference between being a showman or showwoman and being a show off, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you get those performers on stage like Richard Ashcroft, or I don't know, I mean, doesn't have to stick with that field. It might sound off. I quite like Pink. You know the singer Pink.
I've heard of Pink.
That's not her name. I can't remember her name, but she goes on the stage named Pink. She is, whether you like her music or not, and you know, some songs I like, some songs I don't. But I love. She's a performer. she's a show person. She's a show woman. You know, she is a performance on her stage shows. And I've seen a couple of things on YouTube, and you think, wow, that's really great.
Right.
I just love that performance. And she's got a good voice, and just you're drawn to her music. And I think that's part of that as well. But you're drawn to the visual element as well. And my son was, I mean, we seem to be talking about sort of poppy stuff now, but my son went to a phase of loving, was it Jess Glynn? She sang like Thursday and I'll Be There and a few other sort of well-known songs. And again, you kind of what you see her live shows at remote on YouTube. And again, she's a performer. You know, she's a showwoman. She's not just singing a song blandly in front of a microphone. She's performing. She's presenting something to the audience and making it worth their while for them to go there in the first place.
Right. Do you know, I have to show my ignorance here because you're talking about people I don't really know.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Relatively new because being a bit long in the tooth, you know, I go way back. I got into music from a very, very young age. So I like music from the 60s. 70s was absolutely my era because I really like a lot of rock and I'm into folk music as well and blues. I love blues. But let me see, what day is it now? Just a few days ago, a couple of days ago, we went to the Central Theatre in Chatham and we saw the Manfreds and Georgie Fame. And I'll be honest, I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard of Manfred Mann.
No, I haven't. Oh, no, actually.
So young.
No, it's been in a way, but maybe you've mentioned. I can't remember, but anyway, it's only a very vague
bell. Anyway. Yeah, it's a different era for sure, because I was only a child, actually, when Manfred Mann were making all their hit records, and Georgie Fame likewise. And so Georgie Fame is now 78 years old at the time of recording this, and Paul Jones from the Manfreds, they are now, because Manfred Mann was actually a member of the band. He formed the band, I believe. And he didn't want to take part in this regrouping of the band. So he didn't want to take part in it. And he wasn't keen on them using the name Manfred Mann, understandably, as it's his name. So they call themselves the Manfreds. And in one of their very, very earliest hits, which used to be the theme to a TV programme called Ready, Steady, Go, that was all about, you know, very, very sort of 60s, you know, 60s singers then. And their theme tune, in the middle of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, he would sing, "Aha, we are the Manfreds." or it was the Manfreds. Do you know, I can't remember. And it was only a few days ago when I heard him sing it. But they had two fairly distinct careers. Well, no, they had more than two, actually, because in the early days, Manfred Mann's lead singer was Paul Jones, who is now very, very much a sort of blues band performer. And plays harmonica and sings. And he was their lead singer from 1963 to 1966. Then from 1966 to 1969, their lead singer was Mike Darbo.
Okay.
They had quite a different sound then. And they had, the other night when we went to see them, they had both of them there. So they were alternating, Paul Jones singing hits from the earlier Manfred Mann and Mike Darbo singing the hits from the later version. And Georgie Fame then just joined them on stage for a few songs. They were absolutely fantastic. I couldn't believe it because Paul Jones is nearly 80. He'll be 80 in a couple of months. But they're amazing. They can still deliver the goods. So
some of those performers, some of those groups, you know, it's in their blood, isn't it? They'll perform until they drop.
Something I noticed was they all seem to be really enjoying themselves, and they've got nothing to prove. They've done it. You know, been there, done it. So they're doing it because they enjoy it now, and that really shows.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. It's just they're doing it. You know, they're probably, hopefully, they're financially secure. They're doing it because they get a buzz from performing. You know, they just enjoy it, and I think, you know, good for you. And that's, you know, unfortunately, money is a sad fact of life that you need it in order to live. But if you can be financially secure with it, and just do it for the passion, for the love, because I think it is a calling, isn't it? I think if you're a good musician and you're doing it because you've got a buzz for it, you almost don't care about anything else. You're doing it because that's in your bones.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, I can remember my dad was born in the 40s, so he sort of the music era was sort of the 50s and a bit of the 60s, really. He was a teenager in the 50s, so he was Elvis Presley, Billy Fury. He hated the Beatles as a passion.
Did he?
Maybe I'm overstating it. He didn't like the Beatles, certainly.
Okay.
He was certainly a bit of a sort of a rock and roll, kind of classic rock and roll star. But my mum was a few years later. She was more the 60s to a degree, where kind of that revolution in music was happening a little bit more. So her style, I think, was a bit different. So I grew up in a house where Elvis Presley was being played a lot, where he had the Billy Furies and all that. So I've got a love for that era of music that's kind of before my era, because yeah. I heard it almost every weekend at home.
Yeah, I think I was really into 60s music from a very young age. And so it was interesting, because when I was very young, I remember my ambition was to be a teenager. I was just yearning to be a teenager. It sounds like a weird thing, but I think it was because I felt that then I would be legitimately able to really enjoy music and,
Oh, I see.
So I was really into it. And I bought my first record when I was aged 8. And I've never bought a record I've been ashamed of subsequently. Never. And my first one was a Hard Day's Night EP. So I didn't hate the Beatles with a person. But
it was me and you again. Do you remember many years ago, the two of us, along with our pal Tom, we actually went to the Abbey Road Studios, didn't we? We had our pictures, there's a picture of the three of us outside on the famous Zebra Crossing.
Yep, we did indeed. And I've also done the Liverpool, because Mark, my other half, is very seriously into the Beatles, along with his other bandmates. They all love the Beatles.
Right.
And so we went up to Liverpool and we did the Magical Mystery Tour thing. And
brilliant.
Got my photograph at Strawberry Fields and Eddie Lane. And funnily enough, when the thing that sticks in my mind about this, and I don't know why it should really, but when we were taking photos of the Penny Lane street sign, there was a dead duck on the ground next to it.
Oh.
Which is kind of unusual. I don't know why that was there.
That is certainly unusual.
I hope it's not symbolic.
It was symbolic of what is what I'm intrigued in.
Well, a dead duck. It's not really, it's a very...
Oh, yes, sorry, of course. Yes, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, perhaps I shouldn't have even thought about that. Never mind mention it. Musical taste. So would you say that your musical taste is eclectic or...
Yes, I think so. I think so. It's funny. I've got a playlist of my favourite songs, etc. As probably a lot of us do. And I'm just looking at it. I'm about to look at it now. I've got it's from the 80s. Alison Moyet. Let's have a look. I refuse to call it a guilty pleasure because music shouldn't be guilty. I've got one of the songs from, do you remember Hanson, Bop?
I do, yes.
I've got that song on there. Alan Walker. Now, there's an unusual one. I came across him, but actually through my son, who discovered him somehow on his Alexa device. And Alan Walker, there's a couple of his, and absolutely, it's a bit like sort of, electronic music, bit of sort of not trance, but just electronic. And I'd never thought I'd like electronic, but just brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
It's funny because I didn't think I would get into it because son number one is into that kind of thing, and he used to do a bit of DJing stuff, and so he's very into dance and lots of electronic stuff, and I really got quite into some trance stuff. And in retrospect, the early classics, dance classics, I don't know what any of them are called, which isn't helpful, I know, but I really got to like some of that stuff. But I think probably my musical taste, rock definitely, and in the 70s my favorite band was Led Zeppelin. I loved Led Zeppelin, saw them live, of course. But my favourite band nowadays is Radiohead. I just adore them.
Really? I've never had to get into Radiohead. Never had to get into them at all.
No, I think quite a few people. I think they're sort of, you love them or hate them.
Yeah.
Like that, because they're so, I don't know, I think they change over the years. You know, they've managed to remain fresh, so they come up with something new, and it just blows me away because it's not like anything quite that they've done before, you know, but it's still unmistakably Radiohead. So I just love them, really. And I've never seen them live, which pains me. Never seen.
I know you like your live music. I mean, I do, but you like it. I think you like live music more than I do, I think.
I love live music, but I've just had a rejig of getting stereo bits and pieces together. I'm still working on it, actually, because I've ordered a new stylus for a record deck I've bought. So I used to be a bit of a hi-fi buff back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, but I haven't had a record deck until relatively recently. So I've bought a stylus. I'm just waiting for it to arrive. And hooked up the old amplifier. It powers up, so I'm hoping it's still going to work. It does at least power up. Hooked up the speakers, so I'm just waiting for these, for the stylus to arrive, so I can actually listen to some records. I've got a fairly large collection of records because I used to work at HMV in Oxford Street years ago.
Yes.
So I had a staff discount and there was no stopping me then. Just blooming brilliant. It was like being in Aladdin's cave every day and being paid for it. It was great.
Oh, it must have been wonderful. It's probably similar with books, but I think I was more of a book thing. But that's it now. The advent of, like, I'm being careful because my Alexa is relatively nearby. And if she turns on, she'll start spouting commands and stuff out. But you kind of got the, it's really, you've got the world's kind of collection of music on there if you know what to look for.
Yeah.
You know, and but, you know, it's wonderful because I'm being introduced to new stuff now because, you know, my son, who's 30 years younger than me, and is now 10, you know, he's picking up these songs with bands and these individual artists around now. And I'm thinking, oh, that's quite good. But I'm introducing him to sort of the classics from my childhood, you know, and do you remember Roxette from the 80s?
I do remember. Roxette,
yes. And another Swedish band, Roxette, and
ABBA.
Yeah,
no, not ABBA.
I can remember at one point there were three Swedish. Well, different points. There were three Swedish bands, Roxette, ABBA, and something. Well, no, I can't remember now. But I've introduced. Well, so stuff that Brian calls retro. I'm thinking, you shut your mouth. That's not retro. That's my childhood you're talking about.
You ought to listen to some from my childhood. That's going way back. It's historical stuff now.
Yeah, well, would you know, I probably listen to stuff that's pre your generation, because obviously you're about 20 years younger than my dad. And and so, you know, he's music was the 50s, as like I said, you know, it's, and so I've got quite a taste for that, I think.
Yeah, it's good though. I really like the fact that my sons, with the exception of son number one, it's the other way around where I've got into some of the stuff that he likes.
Yeah.
The other two have really, well, no, actually, I suppose it works both ways with all three of them, because Jim, who is son number two, is really into rock music. So it's really nice that we can share music from my youth.
Yeah.
He really enjoys it, but then he's introduced me to some more sort of recent rock music, which I like a lot as well. And and Richard, son number three, who loves Radiohead. He's the only other one in our family who does, but he loves it. So that's cool by me. So that's really good. But he's introduced me to some stuff. And to be honest with you, I think some of his musical taste is a bit too off the wall even for me. But I think that my musical taste is really quite eclectic. And I've got a whole load of CDs I've dug out as well, because I'm going a little bit retro and I'm listening to CDs and not necessarily just streaming everything. And so I don't like to part with it. I like to have music I really like. I like to have my own copy of it.
I'm the opposite. I'm not attached to any of that stuff. I don't think I've got any of my CDs left at all. Nothing. Because I've got an Alexa in my flat that I listen to everything on there.
Yeah. Yeah, which I can fully understand. I do get that, but I still I love my record collection and my CDs and things. I think I'm probably more inclined to listen to a whole album if I have it on CD or vinyl.
Yeah, fair point.
I think I'm more inclined to do that because back in the 70s, something that we used to do, we used to sit down and listen to an album. That was a normal thing to do. Nowadays, we don't. It tends to be track by track, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, well, I think because we're in the era of, you know, you stream a television series, you can pick out, you can buy tracks. You don't have to buy the whole album. You can just buy a track that you like. In the old days of when you, the single, I can remember having an iTunes account in, I don't know, the 20s, and you know, you didn't have to buy the entire album. You could listen to the album like a 30-second clip of each song. If you didn't like three of the songs on the album, you'd buy everything else but those three. You could be far more selective than you could be, I think, kind of before the advent of digitized music.
Yeah, exactly. I have to say, though, something that's really good about digitized music is that my cousin, who is also in a band, it's a prog rock band called The Id, and he lives in Kent. The drummer lives in Tokyo. And they've got another member in Norway and another one in Canada. So they're scattered about all over the place. They haven't all met each other, but they've produced, I've lost count of how many albums now, a few albums.
Wow.
And they just send each other the tracks that they've got. And as Tim, my cousin, has said a few times, you know, he'll come up with an idea for a track, send it to, one of the others, you know, and say, right, add something to it. And they'll add something to it, which takes it into a different direction from what he'd envisaged. And he loves that.
Yeah.
I love that concept as well. I think they're really good albums too that they've produced. So, yeah, I mean, it's made that kind of thing possible. So digital music isn't all bad.
No.
Rich.
Rock horror.
Yeah. So, what sort of music are you listening to at the moment? I don't mean at this moment.
Well, funny enough, today, as I was walking home from dropping my dad off this morning, I'm just looking for it at the moment. I've forgotten the... I've had that moment again, Barbara. I've forgotten the... have you heard of Imagine Dragons?
No.
Oh, Imagine Dragons, a particular track called Thunder. It's a bit... maybe a bit rocky. Maybe not rocky, but it's a bit harder than pop, certainly. So I was listening to that. But yeah, Thunder's pretty good. And I had a little bit about it. I'm listening to some retro stuff at the moment. What I call retro from sort of the 80s and 90s. So a bit of Savage Garden.
Right.
As a very good... I'm not sure whether he's kind of Colombian or Argentinian, but there's a guy called... I'm going to mispronounce his first name now. Raul Mallow, R-A-U-L, his first name, Raul Mallow. And there's a particular song that he does called Lucky One. It's like it's a 7-minute track, and he's just playing the guitar and singing into a microphone. And his voice is just exquisite. And it's called Lucky One. And I'll send it to you actually, because it's so good. So good.
I look forward to hearing that.
Yeah, I'm going to share that with you later. I'm going to share it with you now while we're talking.
Well, thank you very much.
What are you listening to at the moment?
Radiohead.
Of course.
And what else have I got? I've been listening to some stuff from way back. Stephen Stills. I really like Stephen Stills. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And I've seen them live. I saw Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young back in the 70s. When they were supporting Joni Mitchell, who is also a massive favourite of mine. I adore Joni Mitchell's music. And she's another one who was something of a chameleon because she sort of changed and went quite jazzy for a while. You know, that was really nice. So, but the early stuff is really nice too. So Joni Mitchell, massive fan of Joni Mitchell. I've heard her regarded as a song poet, and I think that sums her up really well because I love her lyrics.
Do you know, I'd agree with that. Now you said that, I'm going to have to go back and listen to some of her music again because I love Joni Mitchell.
Yeah, it's amazing, bless her. I believe it was her birthday yesterday.
Oh, okay, well, in that case, I will definitely have to listen to some music in celebration of that.
Although it won't be when this recording goes out, will it? But
well, no, that's true. Details, Barbara, details.
Absolutely. Well, perhaps somebody might be listening to it on her birthday next year. We don't.
That's true, because we do have an enduring popularity, so, you know, these will last forever.
Absolutely. And on the subject of endurance, no, not endurance, that's not what I meant. I think that we could talk about music in general terms ad infinitum, but we're going to have to call a halt to it.
I didn't realise what the time was.
Time is up. But I think we could have some more about music and maybe be a bit more, I don't know, disciplined, have a theme or something like that, perhaps.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean like a theme tune, because we've got one of those.
Yeah, we have. Great. Well, brilliant producer.
Yep. Thank you, Mark Ellis.
Yep. That's
a fantastic job. So on that happy note, it's time to say goodbye. So it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from both of us.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.